This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Kota, Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are welcoming Crystal Gentilello and Ann Sage, famously known as the Rue Girls of Rue Magazine. So Crystal and Ann, thank you so much for joining us at the Skirted Roundtable.
Thank you.
Well, we're happy to have you. We haven't talked to anyone who has a real full-on digital magazine, so I think we've talked about it in a previous podcast, and I think we're going to be really interested to hear sort of the background of how you guys came together to create Rue. So maybe we could start with each of you talking about kind of your own backgrounds and your blogs, and then how you joined forces.
So I began blogging about 2.5 years ago with a personal blog called The City Sage, and it covers fashion and interior design and all kind of lifestyle content. And at the time that I started the blog, I was working as a consumer strategist at an ad agency and really was looking for a creative outlet and had always wanted to work in magazine publishing but wasn't sure how to get my foot into the door. So I blogged for about, again, 2.5 years, and then Crystal and I became friends through blogging. And around the time, apparently, that she conceived of the idea of Rue, I started producing photo shoots and styling photo shoots just because it seemed like possibly a way to move my interests further. And she found out that I was doing that kind of work and asked me if I wanted to be involved in some of the shoots for the magazine that she was putting together. And one thing led to another, and we were both kind of contributing to it equally and decided to become co-founders.
That's really great. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the kind of content you cover on City Sage?
Sure, no problem. So it's about a 50-50 balance, I would say, between interior design and fashion. And I'm really interested often in the point where those two fields meet. So I do a lot of outfit to room, or, you know, inspiration boards where I incorporate both fashion and interior design images. I like to do shopping boards and mood boards, bringing in product from all around the web, that kind of stuff.
How do you still have time for the blog and Rue at the same time?
That's a really good question. I didn't sleep very much this summer or this fall, and I've now been finding that my energy is really flagging as a result of it. So to be perfectly honest with you, I'm still figuring that one out.
And do you feel like you really need a personal blog presence now that you have such a big presence with Rue?
Yeah, I do, for a few reasons, one of which being that we really see Rue as being a product of the blogging community. It's not something that would exist if it weren't for everything we've learned and all of the relationships that we've built through blogging. And it's very important for both of us to maintain our separate entities as well as have the magazine together. And so our personal blogs allow us to do that. And then also I have a strong fashion interest that doesn't get covered in Rue because we are mainly interiors and entertaining. And so I like to be able to maintain a foot in that fashion world through the personal blog.
So, wow, I just can't imagine. So what is your
address?
It's
my name. It's annsage.com.
God, I have a hard enough time. I mean, I just can't imagine that you're doing both. That's really commendable.
Well, thank you. And you know, I start every morning with a post on my personal blog. I sort of treat that like someone else might treat a morning run or a trip to the coffee shop.
But that, to me, that's like one of those things, just even sometimes getting a post out every single morning at a certain time is really difficult because you have to, and especially when you're creating a magazine, because, you know, I'm sure you're influenced by all the things that you're researching for the magazine. And you know, you can't cross over and put any of that information onto your post. So I would think that would be hard while getting inspiration for the magazine to keep that separate from what you're posting on with your blog.
It is and it isn't. I mean, I have kind of series that I run on the blog that I can always fall back on. You know, I'll run a series that I call Chairs of the World and just find pictures of the same kind of chair and talk about those, or, you know, star for a day and I take a look at a particular celebrity's fashion sensibility and offer some shopping tips for getting the look, that kind of stuff. And so those are things that would never really appear in Rue. And then at the same time, I would say that working on Rue has given me more to blog about too, because I've now been meeting more new people than ever, learning about more new products and services than ever, because I'm looking for those things for the magazine. And obviously we can't talk about everything in the magazine. So things that don't make the cut for that, just because it's not the right fit at the right time, can easily be blogged about. And it's a great opportunity to offer exposure to the small business people who come to us looking for coverage in Rue, and we just don't have the space for it all.
Now, do you and Crystal, where do you guys live? Where do each of you live?
I live in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Crystal, until now, has lived in Chicago, but she's actually moving to San Francisco next week.
So had you guys met in person when you decided to join forces?
We had never met in person, and we worked on the magazine for about 2 months before finally meeting in person. And we met at 1 a.m. in a hotel room in New York when I arrived for our Vincent Wolf shoot.
Wow. So, because that's, I mean, I think of, like, Joni, Megan, and I have not met either. But obviously the Skirted Roundtable is nothing compared to, it's a lot of work, but it's nothing compared to putting out Rue and the amount of content, the work that you had to have put in just to get out the first episode.
Yeah, we definitely took a real leap teaming up and taking on this project together. I think that part of the reason it's worked out so well really has just been serendipity. We are a terrific partnership, and a lot of the time if I'm thinking too big and too crazy, Crystal reins me in, and then sometimes I'm there to fill the holes that she's missing. And by the end of our first few days in New York together, we were completing each other's sentences. And oftentimes, you know, we'll text each other ideas and the other one will have been thinking the exact same thing at the exact same time. So it's kind of uncanny. And then I think also it really helps that we didn't grasp the magnitude of what we were taking on when we set out to do it. Honestly, it was partly ignorance. We were... not ignorance, but
naivete,
you know,
a little.
A little bit of naivete, maybe, and just good faith that we were taking on something that we were passionate about and that it would get done. And then, of course, when we realized the sheer amount of work that was involved, we were so knee deep in it that there was no way in heck we were going to abandon it all.
Is this what you guys are doing?
Fun. I think that's the most important thing. Is that we were having so much fun and feeling so inspired and so energized by what we were doing that even though there was a lot, it didn't feel like work. We were getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning every single day and working until midnight that night, and it just felt right.
And do you both have jobs outside of this, paying jobs?
Throughout the first issue and the second issue, we did. We have now both quit those day jobs to do Rue full-time.
That is a huge commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's scary, but again, there's this feeling of rightness. And I think a lot of that comes from the support of all the community and contributors that and relationships that we either had before through blogging or that we've since built through the magazine.
I think what we had discussed, the online magazines, a month or two ago, and there were two things that we discussed about yours in particular, but one was we were interested in how did you land these major advertising hitters? It's quite impressive, you know. That
Thank
was
you.
Very impressive.
Well, we approached our advertisers for that first issue after we had pretty much put the whole issue together. So we were able to go to them and say, look at the serious content that we've put together. And we had a really good grasp through blogging on the type of audience that we were going to be reaching. We had built a following through Twitter and Facebook throughout the summer while we were building that first issue, so we were already able to show them the numbers we were putting together. So that was part of it. And then again, we really had some of those relationships even prior to starting the magazine through our blogs. And so we had built that foundation of trust and reliability with people, because obviously when you're putting out content every single day for no money, advertisers are seeing that you're committed to what you're doing and that you have a loyal and engaged following, and that's something that they realize is a very valuable thing to tap into.
Well, I think the summer, I know I was incredibly impressed with the pre-publicity that you guys put together. Was really brilliant.
How many subscribers did y'all get over the summer? I mean, do y'all have now? Or
yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not sure how many we have now. Crystal has a better handle on those numbers than I do. But by the end of the summer, before we even launched, we had 15,000 on our mailing list.
Yeah, that's amazing. So for our listeners, just to let you know, due to some technical difficulties we were having, we are actually talking to Anne and Crystal in separate leapfrogging conversations back and forth, but not having them on the line at the same time because it's a clearer line this way. So now we have Crystal on. So Crystal, what we want to hear from you is tell us about your blog and sort of how you started blogging and how you developed into the machine that is Rue.
Sure. Okay. Well, I started my blog, Plush Palette, about 2 years ago. And basically, my background is in English, and I worked for a publisher before starting Rue. And when I started the blog, it was really my way to sort of connect those two worlds that I love, and that's, you know, the world of writing and books and magazines and all of that, with my other passion, which is interior design. So it started out as my sort of creative outlet. And after about 2 years of blogging, I was just ready to take it to the next level, do something that's or bigger with my life. And I had this idea to launch the magazine. And from there, Anne had actually been a friend of mine, a blog friend of mine. We had never met in person. We just, you know, were Facebook friends, Twitter friends. We left comments on each other's blogs. And sort of in passing, I just mentioned my idea to her, and it turned out that she was sort of in the same state of mind and also looking for the next move in her career. And so we came together and started working on issue one, and the rest is history, really.
We did talk to Anne about how you guys hadn't met and you just started working and talking all day long and then finally meeting in a hotel in the middle of the night.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, we worked for a couple months just via email, really. And it was actually a couple months into working together that we even had our first phone conversation. And so that first phone conversation happened literally like when we were both headed to the airport to go to New York to meet in the city for our first photo shoot. And it was just instant connection. I couldn't ask for a better business partner and friend, and it's just been wonderful to work with her.
Isn't it amazing? And we said this to Anne, so I'll be repeating myself. Mm-hmm. You know, the three of Megan, Joni, and I have not met, but obviously the Skirted Roundtable isn't quite the undertaking that the first issue of Rue was. But it's amazing how just online and social media you can mm-hmm. just really develop a great working relationship with people.
Yeah, it's actually some of my best friends I've made through blogging. Is, you know, as cheesy as that sound, but it's absolutely true, because you have this shared language, you have common interest, and so it just makes that connection and relatability so much faster.
When did you start thinking about coming up with doing your own digital magazine, and how did you come up with the name Rue?
So I first had the idea in April on my 27th birthday, actually. It was just kind of one of those moments where I was like, you know, I'm not getting younger. I want to be on a career path that I'm absolutely passionate about. And in April, that idea just came to me. And I would say that I started really working on it at the beginning of May. And that's when I crossed paths with Anne and got her on board. And so it all sort of started to come together in May. It took us a while to find a name. I can't remember exactly when we decided on Rue, but I want to say it was probably end of May, beginning of June. And basically, we just would send each other lists of names every single day via email, and these lists had like 50 names a day, and we just couldn't find the right one, or we'd find one and we'd like it for a week, and then we'd have second thoughts, and eventually we were playing around with some French names because we sort of liked the sophistication that evoked, but they sounded a little too stuffy. So eventually, I think it was Anne who was just like, why don't we just name it something one syllable, short, simple, Rue? And we're like, yep, that's it. So that's how we came to that.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
But what does Rue mean? Like street?
Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's okay. Why we liked it, because since it does mean street, we felt like, that we could really play with that word in terms of Rue sort of being a pathway for our readers to a stylish life or to new ideas and creativity. So that's how it sort of fit with our mission of just really being something to help readers along the pathway of creating a life they love.
And one thing I think is interesting about, you know, when all the magazines started folding and we were all sad seeing all those go, and we started realizing that there was a place for digital magazines, mm-hmm. I sort of thought, well, how are people going to translate a magazine into, you know, digital format? How will it be the same? But I know that you've mentioned before that your approach was a little different, in that it really was something born from social media and the blogging and celebrating the blogging world. And so it was, do you want to talk about that a little bit, the nice sort of dovetailing of the two?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, Anne and I both have blogging backgrounds. So neither of us have ever worked for a magazine before. And we just really loved the sort of, as you guys know, the blog world is so inclusive and collaborative, and friendships are made and people are supportive of one another. So we loved that feeling of blogging, and we wanted to bring it to a magazine. And the friendships that we had built over during our blogging years, those were the first people we contacted to help us. So for the first issue, I think we had something like 35 to 40 contributors, and those people are all friends that we made through blogging. So it was really sort of a community effort, and it still is to this day. I mean, we have a very small internal team, and we really rely on our contributors to help build the magazine. And it's just so fun to see lots of talented people together sharing a vision, helping get the magazine off the ground, and everyone from photographers to stylists to graphic designers. And we just sort of view ourselves more as almost like curators of just getting groups of talented people together and working their magic and just putting it together in real. So it's really an effort of a lot.
So I have a question that you may or may not want to answer. So we can take it off if you don't want to answer this. But did you guys have to invest a lot? I mean, I think everyone's kind of trying to figure this out, because, you know, what sort of revenue is it generating? Is it generating any revenue? How do you plan on, you know, are you eventually going to run out of people who volunteer their efforts because they eventually have to give up the hobby and get back to working? So, how does that work?
Yeah.
The money side.
Right. So starting out, so for the first issue, it was personally financed by Anne and myself. So both of us were investors in the project, and we were very lucky to have so many people just donate their time and resources and talents pro bono to help the magazine come to life, just because they believed in what we were doing. So that's how issue one was born. And we're also very lucky that we've been able to build a pretty strong advertising program. So that's how we get our revenue, and it's growing every issue. Each issue we're making bigger profit margins, basically. So it's in a good place right now, but we definitely want to keep on growing it so that we can give back to the community and our contributors, and, you know, pay them for their full rates for their time and resources. So it's a tricky yet exciting balance to sort of build the business side of the magazine. As fun as the creative side is for me, I also am learning that I actually really love the business side as well. So that's been a new fun discovery for me.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I just from endeavors that I've been a part of, and that friends of mine who are creative, the creative part is a blast. Coming up with all, but it's what I've always found personally is that then the creative part becomes about 5%, and the rest of it is all business. So
exactly,
So you have to have a really good mind for both and really good passion for both, or else eventually hire someone to handle the business side of it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of, it's, you know, you can build a lot of buzz and hype about a product or a magazine or, you know, anything, but if you don't have the business structure to uphold all that hype, you know, it's just going to fall. So it's something that we spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, our marketing strategy, PR strategy, advertising outreach. So luckily, Anne and I both complement each other well. So she's sort of the, she loves the creative side and I love the business side, but both kind of help each other.
Crystal, you were in the process of moving out to San Francisco?
I am, yeah. So I've been in Chicago for about 3.5 years now and just sort of ready for a change. And so with Anne, of course, being out in San Francisco, we thought it would be a blast to be in the same city and open up a Rue office and really just take this to the next level. So that's the plan. I'll be in San Francisco starting at the beginning of February, and we've got a beautiful office space already, and we're going to have a blast decorating it, and who knows, we might feature it in the magazine if it turns out really well. So.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
You guys already have an office.
Yeah. It's going to be nice, because up until now, I mean, everything that Anne and I do is just via email, phone calls, and then occasionally, you know, we see each other when we travel for different events. But it'll be really nice to be able to work side by side on a daily basis.
I would think that it, I would hope that it would save you a huge amount of time not having to email things back and forth, but you know, just look at the screen. Come over here and look at my computer screen.
Yeah, come over here to my desk.
Yeah.
And check it out. Yep.
We were kind of really interested in is the amount of material, like the number of houses that y'all feature, and we were wondering how do y'all do that? Do y'all fly around the country? And I mean, it just seems like a lot of work.
Yeah,
and expense and time.
Right, exactly. So for the premiere issue, I actually was on set for I think 9 out of the 10 features, and that was just, you know, I wanted to be a part of every single step of the magazine and building it. So that's, and Anne was there for a lot of those as well. And it was a blast. Like, we love photo shoots. To me, that's sort of like the meat of the magazine. So I love the traveling and getting to work with the photographers and stylists and designers. But after the first issue, we were kind of like, we can't keep up this pace. This is too much. And like you said, it's also a huge expense. So for issue 2, we cut back a little bit, and we have found photographers and stylists in different cities that we completely trust to just work their magic without us being there and not needing our direction. And they come out with beautiful images and a beautiful feature. So we're learning how to delegate and sort of outsource as much as we can.
Crystal, you guys have, I think we've said this, but I've said this before, if anyone has been the ideal user of social media and doing it in the right way, it's you guys. I mean, talk about using social media to in a way that, I mean, you guys created something out of nothing. You guys had nothing in the hands yet we all were fans and we all had bought into the whole Rue environment, the lifestyle. I mean, you guys really, you guys were pioneers in that area. I don't know that Lonnie didn't do that. I know.
No.
So, you know, I think a lot of it was timing, but I think a lot of it also was the fact that you all know how to use social media and you proved it. And that to me was so impressive.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
What was that intent? I mean, did you all know what you were doing at the time? Was it like, here's what, is this part of your PR plan, or did it sort of evolve organically?
I think it's just sort of a part of being products of Generation Y and, you know, the blogging community. It's just sort of part of our DNA to be on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, using blog posts as a way to spread news and get the word out on stuff. So I wouldn't even say that it was a very well thought out plan. It just kind of happened that way. And really, that's all that we had, because we, again, not coming from a magazine background, we just used the resources that we had. And what that was is our blogging audience and our Twitter friends and whatnot. So we just really leveraged that community, and we're just absolutely blown away and just so grateful by the way that everyone embraced the magazine. And it was kind of fun because I felt like people were sort of along the journey with us leading up to the premiere. So it's almost as if we didn't really have that task of building an audience when the premiere came out, because in many ways we already sort of had built that following. So that just, you know, allowed for a really wonderful premiere issue and a great embrace. So we're very lucky.
That must have been very exciting.
It was. It was a hectic, crazy, wonderful day when the first issue came out, and it's still thrilling. And I feel just so blessed that I get to do, you know, for my full-time job now, something that I just absolutely love and am so passionate about and work with so many talented people. So I definitely still have, you know, pinch me moments where, you know, that I get to do this. So
how do you feel when you hear about other magazines that are getting ready to launch that are similar?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I'm actually quite good friends with, you know, some of the girls leading up the new magazines, and we are just thrilled to be able to call them colleagues and friends. And again, we're just so excited to see that this really is a movement. This digital magazine and digital publishing world is gaining recognition. So for us, it's very exciting to be part of it. So I feel like the more the merrier, and hopefully we can all sort of chart this territory together. So we're really excited to see the premieres of the new magazines coming out, and we'll be supporting them along the way.
That's a good attitude. Did you find that others that were already in the digital magazine world, were they as welcoming to you as you are to the other new ones?
You know, I haven't really had, again, the new ones coming out are also founded by bloggers, and so we knew each other years before, you know, any of our magazines, so I already had that connection with them, and I didn't so much with anyone with existing magazines, so I can't really speak to that. I just happen to know, you know, like Paloma from High Gloss and Katie from Matchbook. They were friends before they announced the magazine, so I haven't had too much contact with anyone who already had an existing magazine before Rue launched. So,
but I think it's really great to understand that the community of doing it helps everybody, because
exactly.
It makes readers understand, you know, as more and more readers are understanding how the digital magazines work, you know, the more they see, the more they're accepting of it.
Right. And it really sort of validates what we're all doing, to just see that the rise of new magazines just sort of shows that this is something that is here to stay for a while, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? It's nice because that is, of course, there's always going to be the bad apples in the group, but generally speaking, blogging has always been, I've always felt, it's always been a really sharing community and a really welcoming community. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to hear that, and I can hear it in your voice, I can hear that you guys are really genuine. And I think that reads through in the Twitter and the social media. And that, I think, really the integrity behind what you're doing is probably one reason why so many people were willing to catch on to your star as you guys were building it, you know, rising. So mm-hmm. I think that's to your credit, and I'm so glad to hear and talk to you guys about that and hear that's really what's behind it all.
Thank you. Yeah, and it truly is. Like, we hope that there's really nothing special about us other than that we're just following our passion and hoping to inspire people along the way. So, you know, if we can do that and meet people and be accessible to people who are interested in what we're doing, then we feel like we've done a job well done if that's the case.
You know, y'all sound very serious and dedicated. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if I started this, I it wouldn't be taken seriously, you know? I don't know what I mean, but y'all do sound like you're going to make a go out of it, and regardless, you're going to give it 100%, and you just feel a success, like it's going to be a success story just from your attitudes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, we work around the clock, and it's long hours, and that's just because of exactly what you said. We want to take this, we're in it for the long haul, basically, and we do want this to be our career and grow it to something bigger than we'd ever hoped for. So for us, it is a very, we take the business seriously, we don't take ourselves seriously, but it's certainly a top priority in both my and Anne's life, so it's a full-time job.
So tell us, maybe you guys can just tell us really how you do work together, you know, long distance. What have you found? Because other people might be thinking of doing this or something like this, and how have you found it works best communicating?
Well, we kind of have a master list for every issue that we work off of, So we always, and we update that master list as we make changes, so we always know where the other stands on any given assignment within the issue. And we kind of split management of stories more or less down the middle. So Crystal will be handling half of the features, and I'll be handling half of the features. We do a whole lot of emailing. We check in with each other on the phone several times a week. We're looking forward to being in the same city so that we can just camp out in an office together and turn around when one of us has a question for the other. But, you know, it's actually been surprisingly not that hard. I think because probably both of us are used to communicating online anyway. So doing it for this massive task isn't that more unusual than just doing it for a bunch of tiny little tasks for our blogs.
And then also, Anne and I just work so well together because we have similar temperaments and just sort of schedules. Like, we're both morning people, for example. So both her and I wake up at 5 in the morning every day, and we're both, you know, conked out by 10 p.m. And when we travel together, the first thing that we both want to always do is find the nearest Starbucks. And that's our sort of morning routine, where we'll just go to Starbucks at 5 in the morning, get our venti coffees, and start the day. So apart from the communication being great, it's also we're just sort of in sync together about so many things, which makes working together just a pleasure.
How do you how have you been developing the editorial content for your issues?
A lot of it is our leads that come to us, and then I'd say about half of it comes that way, and then the other half is us reaching out to people that we have a hunch would have a gorgeous home or a wonderful idea or something special to share. So it's really, I don't know how it all comes together, but in the end, it always does. So it's a little bit of...
And also, we've found that there are funny little paths and journeys that lead us to people. So it might be a friend of a friend of a friend passing on an idea that someone might have, or maybe we shot with someone for issue one and they said, oh, you've got to check out so-and-so who we know. And we ended up shooting with them for issue two. So it's kind of, a lot of it is just building relationships one step at a time until we have this vast solar system that we can tap into. It's really fun and exciting.
What's the photographer? Or do you have one photographer? Or
we actually have several photographers in every issue. And we do that strategically because we want to find the right photographer's style for the right piece. And then also we really believe very strongly in giving the industry a lot of opportunities and giving photographers a forum for their work. So we're quite conscious as a lot of the print shelter publications die out, we still want these amazing photographers and stylists to have the opportunity to get their work published. So we work with a lot of different photographers.
Do you all have any goals going forward as far as taking this to television or any other kind of media offline?
This is a tricky one because I'm not sure how we should answer this, Anne. Or what to keep secret and what to...
Yeah, I think the way to answer it for now is that we're definitely open to all the opportunities that come our way. But our focus, of course, our number one priority is the magazine and always getting the 100% best content into the magazine and out to our readers.
Now, you're doing every other month right now? No, every other
month? Yeah.
Are you thinking you might go to a monthly? Or right now you're just...
Anything is possible, and if that seemed like the right decision and if we were in a place where we could produce magazines on a monthly basis, then we'd be open to considering it. But right now we're really working well with the flow of a bi-monthly magazine.
You know what I just was thinking, one thing that I wouldn't say concerns me, but one thing that I have never quite understood is about the digital magazines. One of the things about a print magazine is that it's sitting on my coffee table and I'm reminded to pick it up. And How do you go about strategically reminding people that you're there after they look at it initially, the issue initially, or does that matter to you? Or, I mean, I would think with advertising, the idea and the best way to sell advertising is to let your advertisers know that there's going to be repeat. People are going to keep picking it up and looking at it and looking at it. But when it's online, for me, I have a hard time remembering, oh, I need to go back and because I saw it in that magazine, digital magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the way that we approach that really is through social media. So we try to, first of all, before an issue launches, we try to sort of build buzz around that by doing, we've done Twitter parties for our first two issues, for example, and kind of casual countdowns, that sort of thing. But then after the magazine launches, to keep that traffic coming back to the site, we like to, you know, blog some behind the scenes pictures from the issue or do giveaways and tweet different stories and kind of keep that conversation going. Obviously, we get our most hits and our biggest amount of traffic the week that the issue comes out, but social media is sort of our way to keep it going throughout those 2 months until the next issue comes out.
I still think there needs to be someone, there's a business opportunity, I've said this several times before, but there needs to be a portal for all of these digital magazines, and maybe there is one, and I'm just not aware of it, but I would love, on my new iPad, if I had some sort of application that I could get all of my digital magazines, not the other stuff, but just digital magazines particularly. Mm. That would be great.
Oh, like, there is a Xenio app. Do y'all...
Yeah, but Joni, isn't that...
Well, wait a minute. Do you ever see y'all approaching a company like Xenio and selling the magazine to other people that way? Xenio wouldn't want you unless, you know, someone was paying for it, but would you ever charge to get on the app and to reach a broader audience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really important for us right now to keep the magazine free. So any partnership that we did consider would have to make sure that the issue would remain free for our readers. And we're in that stage right now, just sort of exploring more sophisticated publishing platforms and improving the reader experience. So Xenio is a company that we're familiar with and we love their products. So we're doing our research right now and want to just continue to improve the magazine in terms of the user friendliness.
Well, I think we've said, I don't know if you guys have heard us, as Megan said, we keep saying there's a business opportunity there, and maybe that's something all you digital people can come up with, is someone to create this.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to hear it right now. I'm doing it.
And
we're talking about it.
Right.
You touched on a good point, because since this whole digital publishing thing is such a new movement, that there's so much to learn and discover and so many business opportunities out there waiting to happen. So it's fun. It's exciting to have all these possibilities. And yeah, I think you touched on a really good point, that there's a lot that can still be done in this area.
I'm wondering, as you know, you mentioned about sort of your age, you're just so used to communicating digitally. And I think we do have a little bit of an age gap between some of us here and some of others of us in this phone call. Although we're all obviously very good with digital. We're all very, you know, tech savvy. Regardless of our ages. And our gen number. But I'm wondering, do you think younger people in their 20s, you know, they're more likely to not think of it as, I need it to be on my coffee table to remember it. They're more likely to remember it anyway, because even if it's online. Does that make any sense, that question?
Yeah, it does. I feel like, people in their 20s are, I mean, it's the generation where they are shopping online, they're getting their news online, they're spending hours a day on Facebook, and...
Yeah, but you're describing 40-year-old women, too.
I was just going to say, wait a minute, that's me.
I mean, that's the biggest crowd of people on Facebook are 44-year-old women.
Yeah, no, you're right, I've heard that statistic. I don't know if I understood your question correctly.
Well, I don't know. I was just, you know, I was just curious, that because we keep butting our heads up against it. How do you remember... Like, I read, you can't sit down and read 300 pages all at one time. So how do you remember? I mean, I don't do that with print magazines you know, and right. if I do, I'm not really reading it. I'm flipping through it and that's it. You know, if I'm on a mission to get them off my coffee table. But how do you remember it's on your coffee table, even if it's a digital coffee table?
Mm-hmm. I think, Joni, I mean, Linda, I think what you're saying, is it inherent to the generation? Are you guys Y? I'm X, so you're Y. If Generation Yers are, because of the way they've become adults, has been digitally rather than old-fashioned way of flipping through a magazine, and you're saying that maybe just by that inherent fact that they will automatically get their information off the web rather than off the newsstand, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it just goes back to how do you remember to go back to the website to open up the issue to look at it.
Can I say this,
before I used to take magazines through like there was a European platform that I would get European magazines, there was the American one that was Xenio, and then there was another one that I would get like Better Homes and Gardens and Traditional Homes on, and mm-hmm. now I've noticed that the European, it was called Relay, that is now on Xenio. And the other American is on Xenio. So they're like huge now. I mean, they are eating up all the other little ones. It's like there's no competition now.
Yeah, they must mm-hmm. have bought them out. Hey, what do you guys think about, speaking of being bought out, what do you think of the news that just came out yesterday or today about One Kings Lane having bought Helicopter, which had created Lonnie? And did you, I don't know if you've heard that, and...
They created Domino, I think, is what you mean,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes, you're right. They created Domino. Yeah. Sorry, Lonnie Domino.
I think it's really exciting to see the two worlds, you know, come together. So the world of retail and then editorial content. And it just, for me, I was excited to read that because it just shows that partnerships are to be had out there and people are thinking, you know, beyond just their niche area. So I think it's great and I'm excited to see what One Kings Lane does with adding more editorial content into their brand.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do it.
I think it's a very indicative of a trend that we're seeing that Crystal touched on, this idea of retail and editorial, you know, crossing over more and more frequently. And I think another one we're going to see that with is Gilt Group. I think they're definitely one to watch because they're exploring a lot of interesting new opportunities and ideas, and they're very savvy and they're very sharp.
Yeah. You know, One Kings Lane must be really sharp too, because mm-hmm. they're incredible what they've accomplished in such a short time.
Well, they have deep entrepreneur, you know, angel financing pockets.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, yeah, they got bought.
What do you mean?
Well, they've got big investors.
Oh.
They're not like Crystal and Anne, hey kids, let's put on a show.
You guys have got to be kind of like excited about this. I mean, this idea that there's going to be someone most likely big who's going to buy you guys eventually once you get this thing rocking and rolling. You know what I mean? You're branding right now and you're branding at such a rate that you're going to turn this into a huge gold nugget that somebody out there is going to want to purchase.
And we're going to start the bidding.
You guys got it. I mean, I know. The more that just, you know, you've got to be excited about that possibility.
Yeah.
An absolute more than a possibility, but.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting going with the One Kings Lane. First Dibs did it. You know, they went from being just a selling site to suddenly this very big content-driven thing. And,
right.
You know, content is king.
Yep, and it gives, you know, people another reason to go to their site. So hopefully they'll double their traffic and keep, you know, create a loyal following through the content as well. So it's definitely a smart move.
And then there goes the idea of, but will I have to keep going back and looking for that magazine? Not if it's at the same place that you're going on and shopping, you know?
Right.
So it makes sense.
Well, yeah. I think one of the interesting things about this idea of remembering to go back to visit it is that if you strategically build relationships that result in so many links and mentions of the magazine that lead back to the magazine,
I know
for me the way that I travel online is very often indirect, and I'll jump from one thing to another just depending on what catches my attention. And so what we rely on and what I know happens based on our numbers is that we do get people coming back again and again and again because they'll read one of their favorite blogs, and hey, their favorite blog swiped a great photo from Rue a month after it came out, and so they'll be inspired to go back. I mean, it's very organic, it's very fluid, and that's how, with my experience with branding, that's how you build a really strong brand, is by just always being there by the person's side, even if they're not conscious that you're right there in front of them.
How are you dealing with the rights issues for things like that?
In terms of rights for photographers?
Yeah, rights for photography rights, that kind of thing. Or are you not yet? You're just, you know.
At this point, it really is just pro bono relationships that we're building with the photographers, and we credit them everywhere we publish the photos. We make sure everybody's getting the right nod that they're getting for the work that they're doing. And in the spirit of blogging and communication open and transparent communication, if someone feels they're not being properly credited, we encourage them to reach out to us, let us know, and we'll do everything we can to fix the situation.
So if you found like a random blog swiped one of the pictures but didn't try to give the photographer credit or whatever, you might go to them and say, look, thanks for using the picture, but please credit us and credit the photographer.
Yeah, and I have done that.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys wouldn't know this, but I used to work in rights clearances and public television, so that's why I always ask the rights questions, because I can't watch public television without thinking what's the clearances involved. And I know that I was on the sort of forefront of the internet movement, so everything going to digital was huge. And professional photographers, the older ones, are still so stuck in, you know, they control every right and every use of their image. And I think the younger ones have realized they can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the photographers that we're working with understand that the publicity and exposure they get from working with us and having their name out there is well worth whatever they would be making if they were controlling all the rights.
Yeah.
And if they didn't feel that way, they wouldn't agree to work with us.
Right. And I think that, you know, the digital magazines and understanding that kind of thing and being able to work with great photographers who are willing to either work pro bono for you or for, you know, super discounted rates. You know, you couldn't have done this 3 or 4 years ago because they, you know,
yeah,
they might not have had the photographers willing to do that and understanding.
I agree completely.
So now your next issue is coming out next week? 2 weeks?
Yeah, January 27th.
And anything you want to share of any sneak peeks that are going to be in the magazine?
I can say that our cover girl is a celebrity. That's what I'll tell you.
Cool.
I think I may have read that. Did you tweet that? That sort of mystery, wait till you see who's on our cover kind of thing? Was that you?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about our cover. It won't be someone that everyone recognizes, but it's someone that we want you to recognize down the line because she's extraordinarily talented.
Can you tell us what field she's in?
Yeah, she's in the music industry.
Oh,
yeah.
Very exciting.
Cool. Jenny Lewis.
Actually, you're not completely far off. I love Jenny Lewis. She's fabulous. To have her on our cover would be exciting.
Oh, that's exciting. That'll be fun to wait and see.
Yeah. So, Anne, thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, we lost Crystal, but we really appreciate you guys being very nice and open and answering all of our invasive
questions.
It was
a real pleasure, you guys.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill with Surroundings. And this week we were joined by Crystal Gentilello and Anne Sage, known as the Rue Girls, editors and co-founders of Rue Magazine. Thank you so much for joining us. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcast from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon.